friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell on this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, when pride leads us deeper into sin, grant us strength so that we may turn from pride and know the power of your uncompromising love. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Souvenez-vous donc qu'autrefois, vous qui portiez le signe du paganisme dans votre chair, vous qui traitez d'incirconcis ceux qui prétendent les circoncis à la suite d'une opération pratiquée dans la chair, souvenez-vous qu'en ce temps-là, vous étiez sans Messie, privés du droit de cité en Israël, étrangers aux alliances de la promesse, sans espérance et sans Dieu dans le monde. Mais maintenant, en Jésus-Christ, vous qui jadis étiez loin de vous, avez été rendus proches par le sang du Christ. C'est lui, en effet, qui est notre paix. De ce qui était divisé, il a fait une unité. Dans sa chair, il a détruit le mur de séparation, la haine. Il a aboli la foi et ses commandements avec leur observance. Il a voulu ainsi, à partir du juif et du païen, créer en lui un seul homme nouveau, en établissant la paix et le réconcilier avec Dieu. Tous les deux en un seul corps, au moyen de la croix, là, il a tué la haine. Il est venu annoncer la paix, et vous qui étiez loin, et la paix de ceux qui étaient proches, et c'est grâce à lui que les uns et les autres, dans un seul esprit, nous avons l'accès auprès du Père. Ainsi, vous n'êtes plus des étrangers, ni des immigrés, vous êtes concitoyens dans la construction qui a pour fondation les apôtres et les prophètes en Jésus-Christ lui-même, comme Pierre. C'est en lui que toute circonstance s'ajuste et s'élève pour former un temple saint dans le Seigneur. C'est en lui que vous aussi vous êtes ensemble intégrés à la construction pour devenir une demeure de Dieu par l'Esprit. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
When they had crossed over,
they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated.
Worship can be compared to a fine meal. It has ingredients, readings, music, hymns with turns of phrase. It has a setting, participants with roles, and special guests. So imagine that this is a dinner party of 55. And we're going to have a meal. We are. But imagine this meal. And some questions to set that up. How many of you like to cook?
Me.
How many of you like it better when someone else cooks? Who likes both? And now, what kind of cook do you prefer to be? Do you use recipe books? Who uses recipe books?
Or recipes,
yes. And who likes to just look in the fridge and say, how can I put that together? I have lots of recipe books. And I realize that mostly I just look at them, but I never use the recipes. I prefer to look in the fridge and say, well, I wonder what I can do with that. Or in the aisle of the grocery store, and you see this beautiful, lush basil, so beautiful this week, and you decide, all right, something's going to have to work with this because I want this basil. I have failed spectacularly at this. There was a time at my sister's place where I volunteered to make the salad for lunch, and I was being snobby about store-bought dressing, so I decided I would make something, but her fridge was not well equipped. We just looked at each other over this salad and decided we were going to have to eat it anyway. There was another time when I looked in the New York Times and there was a recipe for making your own ice cream. And it involved freezing the fruit, and then you make the ice cream. And I got free associating and thinking, well, you know, I've heard of a course where you have a palate cleanser between your soup and your main course. I decided to make asparagus ice cream. There is a reason why this is never done. So recognizing that this was my style, I went looking for books that would help me to be better at this. And I came home with two books, and I really lucked out. They were both great, but quite different from each other. And we're going to get to how this is like worship, but I want to talk about cooking for a bit longer. So there's this one book. It's called The Flavor Thesaurus. And you go in the back to the index and you find the thing you have in the fridge and you figure out what else will go with it. So let's say you have strawberries. Strawberries are lovely this time of year. You pick strawberries. What are you going to do with them? So you go to the back of Nikki Segnet's book under strawberries and you see, wow, strawberries and avocado work together? And there you go. You have your meal. There's another one in here where I was curious in the index what kinds of weird things they would have, because weird things can be fun. Parsnips and bananas. So there's a little history lesson in here that in World War II in England, they treated parsnips as a substitute for banana. And so the author goes on to recommend you can put parsnips and banana together and make a lovely cake. But she also doesn't hold back if she thinks it's a terrible combination. So she mentions beets and chocolate, because there is a fashion of, you know, gluten-free brownies where you use beets instead. And she says, your chocolate will taste like dirt, and no one will even lick the batter off the spoon. The other book is more complicated. It's called Taste Buds and Molecules, The Art and Science of Food with Wine. And it matches your wine with your food. The author is a man named François Chartier. He is a world famous chef and sommelier. That's the technical word for a, you know, a wine person. He works with all the Michelin 3-star restaurants. Those are the ones that everyone wants to go to. Anyways, he has written this book where he's pairing food and wine. And what he does is he takes a food ingredient, so let's say those strawberries I just mentioned, and he breaks it down into the chemical flavors, the molecules that are in the strawberries. So what he says about strawberries is, it's the very same compounds as pineapple, so feel free to use them interchangeably. And the compound in question is called eugenol. And eugenol is that taste that you get out of cloves. So cloves go nicely with pineapple or strawberries. And that eugenol is also present in Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. So go to the liquor store, and those are the wines for that meal that you're making. Those are the wines you need to have. And what will happen is, because you have the same eugenol in the wine that you had in the strawberries, you'll get this zinging, lovely sensation on your tongue. It will be like your tongue is singing a hymn. So I have to say, I prefer the flavor thesaurus one, because it's easier. And also because I'm a sucker for wine with a nice label. And so, I might pick the wrong Chardonnay and it might not work. I've also come to appreciate recipe books again. So this weekend I'm making tortiere with ground moose and ground pork. Oh. And I am faithfully following that recipe. Now, let me bring this comparison back to the worship service. This weekend, we have had a healthy serving of Psalm 23. We've used it twice. It would be like buying that lovely bouquet of basil. And yesterday, we had it for the memorial service for Robin Durrell. So that's Psalm 23, the healthy basil. And Kara Gilbertson sang that beautifully. And today we have Psalm 23 again. Well, yesterday, the other ingredients were especially stories about Robin Durrell's life, plus special pieces of music and speakers and scriptures chosen by his wife, Barbara. It was a real feast. And in that feast, you know, if you could kind of pick out something to pull it all together, I had to do that. I thought the light under the bushel from the Beatitudes was the way to hold it all together. So that was the feast yesterday. And we get the second half of the bouquet of basil, the Psalm 23, today. So you heard Psalm 23. You heard it in the opening hymn. You heard Peggy sing it and lead us in the responses. And so if you were at that memorial service yesterday, there are still hints of that Psalm 23 from how we heard it used for someone who has died. You know, the valley of the shadow of death and God being with us, that was very much there. But today we have the psalm, and that there's a verse of it that wasn't included as Kara sang it yesterday. It was about God preparing a table for us. That's not in that version from yesterday. But I think as we listen to Psalm 23 today, God preparing a table for us is really prominent, especially if we're going to think of a worship service as like a fine meal. Now, if you've been in church yesterday and today, it would be good for the flavor of Psalm 23 to feel different because the context today is different. It's different readings and different pieces of music. And so I think that today is more like the taste buds and molecules version, figuring out how to make this all go together. What I want to do is just let yesterday be in the background. We heard Psalm 23 yesterday as companionship of God with us in the time of death. But to make it special all by itself for us now, especially if you were not at the service yesterday, this should stand alone as Psalm 23. But also, it should set up the gospel for the summer, because there's a very sneaky thing that happens in the lectionary. The lectionary is our three-year schedule of readings. All the churches use it, and it's our sign of unity that we try to read all the same readings in every church. So the lectionary does a little switch. We start today in Mark's Gospel with what happens right before the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus feels compassion for the crowd. So that's going to happen next in Mark's Gospel. He's going to say, who has some food? And you know who that is, right? The boy with the bread and the fishes. But we're not going to get that because the lectionary switches us next week to John's version of the feeding of the 5,000. And it keeps us there for the whole summer. John chapter 6 has the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has compassion for the people because they have no food. The people are so moved by having all that food that they want to make him a king. And so he goes away and they see him walking on the water. And then Jesus is the bread of life. And he says, if you eat this bread, you won't die. And unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you have no future. It's kind of terse and blunt. And I have to say that there are preachers who dread having John chapter 6 for the whole summer because they're not sure if they have anything new to say about the bread of life after 5 weeks. I have to say, if John chapter 6 is food, I hope it's not basil, because I think I need to change a little more than that. Maybe potatoes. I could eat potatoes every week. Well, the fact is, the bread of the feeding of the 5,000 is so closely tied that it brings us into the Eucharist, which is like the bread and butter of Christian worship. The Eucharist is everything. It's every week. Every week it forms us. Every service. There are so many facets to what we gain out of receiving the Eucharist together that it equips us to face the world. So today, there's a little bit of reference of yesterday, a little bit of setting up those weeks of John chapter 6, but there's today. What's the special meal today? I want to note the care that has gone into setting up this room, just like you would set your table at a dinner party. And so thanks especially to Bosco and Marianne and Barbara Dranch and many of you who have helped us to work out this time of experiment. Today's readings bring us compassion. In that reading from Jeremiah, there is the question of lack of compassion. You know, shepherds who aren't good. It's about integrity. In a time of suspicion about religion, you know, you've heard probably about, everyone's talking about Christian nationalism as we watch the political environment south of Canada. We're in a time where people question the integrity of religion. And so Jeremiah is important to remind us that that's how people are. They're suspicious. If I could bring it all to one thing that would be the zinger on our tongues, though, I think I would want to go with Psalm 23 saying, I shall not want. Or if we rephrased it, I shall not be in want. That's what's being referenced in the prayer that Jesus made. Give us this day our daily bread. Or as that New Zealand version of the prayer has, with the bread we need for today, feed us. The psalm says that God has set a table before us, and we make the next step that somehow this is that table. And what we do at it teaches us compassion, kindness, generosity, and love. What we do at this table is we offer ourselves. And here I want to enlist Gordon's help, because there's a phrase that goes with this offering of ourselves, and some of you might know it. I'm going to sing it, and I hope you can sing it back to me. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Can you sing that? That's the little boy with the bread and the fishes, right? You're offering what is already God's, and it's transformed and given back to us. That's how Jesus is the bread of life. That's God's incredible generosity towards us. It's that we dine every day at the finest table. That's what our blessings are like. It also helps us to see those who are not dining at the table. The letter to the Ephesians comments about the breaking down of walls, and so we see in the wall, beyond walls, the people are not eating the fullness of food or having the fullness of blessings that we would hope for them. And so in a way, this idea that we would have everything we need should be shareable. In fact, for us to be the bread of life along with Jesus, our vocation is to help. Now, we're really aware of this with the thrift shop being closed during construction, that we have a vocation to help that is kind of on hold right now. But Ottawa, the Diocese of Ottawa's Community Ministries will be celebrating their 70th anniversary this fall. We have a long journey in which we have been helping. When the nave is finished, I hope we'll even be better equipped to be that kind of help. Because in this psalm, God anoints us, the table, the oil is overflowing. And anointing, you can think of that as for healing, but it's also for kingship. God is giving us an anointing so that we can be helpers. So the bread and the wine that we take in all those readings over this summer, and especially today, they're the symbolic opening of ourselves to receive that God is giving us an amazing vocation. We actually have everything we need. We have a special task of helping and feeding. We have a task of taking down walls of division. God has given us a table and a meal. And it takes practice doing this meal to become those helpers. Jesus tells the disciples, well, you get them some food. And so, in effect, he says to us, In the Eucharist, the idea is that the flavor of God's blessing is already singing on our tongues. And with so many blessings as we have, how can we keep from singing? Amen.
For open hearts, gratitude, and a passion for justice. Jesus said, "Be compassionate as God is compassionate." In this spirit, we pray, saying, "Lord, in your mercy," responding, "Hear our prayer." We pray for Shane, our bishop, Anne, our metropolitan, Chris, our indigenous archbishop, and Linda, our primate. We pray for Gary, Alan, Pat, and Christina, Carrie, Jesse, Monica, Barb, Marianne, Jeff, the staff at the well, and for all who serve God in the church. We thank you for placing us in this community where we can be salt and light, bearing witness to your grace and truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble, and for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy. We remember especially Barb, Diana, Sarah, Marcella, Pat, and Wilma. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those who have died and whose memory lives on in our hearts, remembering Robin Carell. Today's flowers are given to the glory of God and in loving memory of husband John, Jack Hampson, brother-in-law Ken Hampson, and sister-in-law Libby Hampson by Jill Maul. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for Justin, our Prime Minister, Doug and Francois, our premiers, Mark and Maud are mayors, grant them wisdom and integrity to serve for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for our families, friends, and neighbors, for those who are alone, and for all people in their daily life and work. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for our world that there be justice, freedom, and peace for all. We pray that wars may cease, violence and oppression end, and poverty alleviated. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the just and proper use of your creation, that we will be good stewards, using the resources of our world wisely, protecting it from harm, and sharing its bounty generously. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
In Jesus' name, we offer our prayers and intercessions to better serve the world God loves. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and we are glad. Amen.
Amen.
Passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and strengthen you and keep you today and always. Amen. Amen.
Oh,
to love and serve the Lord.